Good morning. Thank you for coming this morning. It's been a joy to be in the assembly. Thanks to all of our leaders who have led us, for Max and the choosing of the songs and leading them, and Ara who's led us in a prayer. Michael, thank you for those thoughts in regard to Christ's death. They're helpful as we remember him. In my study on alcohol and the drinking of alcohol, which I tried to present last Sunday morning, one of the things I came across was what causes alcoholism? Terrible addiction that destroys so many lives in this country. And one of the definitions or descriptions of alcoholism is, a lot of people say, well, that's alcohol. Well, no, alcohol doesn't cause alcoholism as long as it's in the bottle. It stays there. It won't cause anybody to be an alcoholic. What will? It's alcoholism plus depression, alcoholism plus economic problems, alcoholism plus sickness, alcoholism plus all the various problems that people have in life that we have. Well, you say, preacher, when will we be in a world where we don't have those problems? When we get to heaven. So what's the answer? Is there an antidote to these problems rather than alcohol, drugs, food, addiction to sports? On and on, we could list the addictions, couldn't we? If those addictions come because we're trying to get something that we know or think that we need to feel good about life and good about ourselves, I want to give you the absolute antidote. And it's not because I'm a smart guy. Even though you know me to be very, no. I'd get an argument there. And you'd win. No, because you have what I have and we can pick it up. And that's the Word of God. I want to talk to you about this book that you have a copy of. I love this picture. It's by Van Gogh. I love pictures that depict religious things that I believe in. Can y'all see that well? Should I turn the lights off? The Bible. We had in our class this morning from 1 Peter a description of this about the seed, the Word of God. Look at your Bible. Look at your own Bible. Do you know that you're holding in your hand the access to life? It's right here. If this is the access or the antidote for our problems. Now, admittedly, we got to get it out of there and into our hearts. That's part of the challenge that I face this morning, is to try to help us, stimulate us to want to get it into our lives. But this is the answer, God says. And he caused by his own providence to put it in written form so that it could be handed down from generation to generation and always be the same. So let's talk about the comfort of the Word of God. And we're going to use Psalm 119. We started on that last Sunday night, so if you want to open your part of the Bible to Psalms 119, almost all of our passages will come right out of Psalm 119. Now, there are 176 or so verses, so we're not going to consider all of them. Aren't you glad? I have chosen quite a few. and I'm putting them up on the screen. We're going to go through them quickly, but we're going to go through them around certain sections to try to demonstrate the power to comfort by the Word of God. The various situations of our lives cause us to ask, my eyes fail with longing for your word while I say, when will you comfort me? There are situations in life that just cause us to cry out, Lord, when will you comfort me? And so we think about the Word of God. Psalm 119 is an acrostic Hebrew poem with 8 lines in 22 stanzas, with each line in each stanza beginning with the succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet, starting from what we would call A. We'd say A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Well, the Hebrew alphabet is shorter than that. It only has 22 letters. Well, they wrote an acrostic psalm so that every line in these 8-line stanzas, each stanza being a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the first letter is that particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Probably was done to help them memorize something that we don't do anymore. This memory device would aid memorization for the Hebrew reader. We need to remember that the Bible was written at times when a lot of people didn't read, couldn't read. So they had to listen, and they would memorize these scriptures and store them up in their minds. It's amazing what the mind can memorize. We think we couldn't memorize much of the Bible. You could go to places in the world where they have memorized whole books, several books. We could do a lot more of that than we know. Now, I mean, that's the kettle pot calling the kettle black. As far as memorization, I haven't done very much of it. But it could be done. Think of this passage. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, you can meditate on something where you're not specifically reading. You couldn't literally read the Bible every day, 24/7. But you can meditate a lot longer upon something that your mind keeps turning over and thinking about. That's what we're talking about this morning. One of the great themes of Psalms 119 is God's comfort. In the many situations of our lives where only God is able to really comfort us, the power of God's truth in the heart, the mind, the soul draws the troubled life closer to God, gives us help to cope with difficulties, and helps us to put things in a calming, spiritual perspective. I would like to think that one of the outcomes of this morning's lesson is that you decide to get you some passages that will help you to calm yourself and to give you a spiritual perspective on the various situations that you know all of us get ourselves into and are in life. We don't have to turn to other things. We can be comforted and calmed and led by the powerful Word of God. Bible reading, meditation, prayer, praise, and scriptural application before God builds greater trust and spiritual peace. When feeling trouble, it is good and empowering to memorize and meditate on these verses during the day. Look at this one from Psalm 119. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has done what? Revived me. It's revived me. What does that presuppose? That I'm in a state of being needing reviving. I'm down in the dust. And so we start with this premise. In times of spiritual deadness. How many of you felt this other than me? Not very many of us have felt spiritual deadness. Isn't that a wonder? That is a marvel. Either that or you're still asleep. There are times when people say, John, how's it going? I said, I'm just as dry as the dust. And my good mentor friends say, well, John, start reading a little more. Read the Word of God some more. We get in spiritual times a spiritual desert. That happens to us. Look what the Word of God says we should do. My eyes fail with longing for your word while I say, when will you comfort me? What is that saying? Lord, when will you comfort me? Longing for your word. Further, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Lord, I've read in your word how you revive. Revive me according to your word. Further, revive me according to your loving kindness. Here we're calling to our mind and remembering that God has told us that he loves us. He deals with us in loving kindness. Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. And this one, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. This is our access. This is our healing. This is our way to rescue, to be rescued from this time of spiritual desert, of spiritual darkness, where we need to be revived. And then this one, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. There it is, to reflect upon it. And the challenge is, for each of us, when we're in this down period, spiritually speaking, to go to these passages and think about them and remind ourselves of the things that God has done for us and has prepared for us. Further, what about times of grief, trouble, and anguish? Usually this is emotional, spiritual. Usually it's regard to some person, family member, loved one, associate, friend. Times of grief, trouble, and anguish. What should we do? Where is there hope and where is there comfort? Look at this. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. We're looking to God, being reminded, reminding ourselves of the many times where he rescued others throughout the Old and the New Testament. But that presupposes that we know about that. We can recall that to our mind. Strengthen me according to your word. Again, trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. You're looking for something in times of grief and trouble and despair. Go find something in the Word of God that delights you, that encourages you. God has put it into a written form that we can have it and be uplifted. And then, what about times of doubt and insecurity? How is this going to turn out? What's going to happen in the future? Maybe even, is God really real? Is he really the creator of the world? Did Christ really die for my sins? I cling to your testimonies. Oh Lord, do not put me to shame. Here is the cry of the psalmist. Lord, Please make my hope in you be vindicated, validated. I'm going to cling to your testimonies. And another, I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Here, the particular perspective that I looked at this, even though we think that maybe this Bible is not modern, is not up to date, it is, even though it is old. You can go to the letters of John in the New Testament, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and often these go back to what we taught you. Go back to what is written. Remember, I remember your ordinances from of old and comfort myself. Further, sustain me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. This raises this question in me. Do you think there's going to come a time where you will feel like an absolute fool for trusting Jesus as your Christ, as the Christ, as your Savior? Do you think there'll come a time when you'll say, you know, that was a joke. That just isn't true. Or he's abandoned me. Leaning upon the Word of God, that will never happen. That will never be the situation. And then what about times of depression and the opposite, joy? We know that we live in a world where we have ups and downs. Some have greater mood swings than others. Depression, joy. What's the antidote? What is the help that we can glean from God's Word? Look at this passage. Your statutes are my song. In the house of my pilgrimage. Your statutes. They cheer me up. They encourage me. They give me a song in my heart as I consider what you've written. I enjoy them. Folks, when you can get joy from the Word of God like that, you've got something to cheer you up every day. When there are times of depression, and even when there are times of joy, that maybe it's a kind of joy that maybe we shouldn't be enjoying that particular thing. Those songs of joy of the Scriptures will bring us back. But look at this one. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. Lord, this is wonderful. What you've caused me to read and to know here. And then what about times of being alone and times of loneliness? Put alcohol with loneliness. You're in trouble. You got trouble, trouble, trouble. Because what these other things, and it's just an alcohol, it could be food, it can be anything we're addicted to. What will they do? They will give temporary relief. Some people go shopping. Pull that credit card out. Temporary relief. And then, bam. Look at this approach. Being alone. Loneliness, feeling deserted, abandoned, hurt. The Lord is my portion. I've promised to keep your words. I want just to reflect on that. The Lord is my portion. Someone has written, I read it preparing for this lesson. When the Lord is all you've got, you learn he's all you need. You you know why some people don't understand that the Lord is all they need? They never let themselves face that the Lord is all they've got. Oh, he's got something or someone around him to prop him up, to lean on, to be a crutch. And I'm not arguing against or making a point against companionship and friendship. That could help us too if it's in the Lord. But when the Lord is all you've got, you can learn that he's all you need to fight loneliness and being alone and being abandoned, being hurt. And this, they almost destroyed me on earth. Have you ever felt that way? Hurt so deeply that you were almost destroyed. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. See the power in that? You're right. They almost had me down for the 10 count. But I would not let go of God. This is the great thing of the great man Job that I see. He doesn't understand. He can't figure it out. Why is God treating him in such a way? But the thing you have to admire about him, he never lets go of God. He doesn't deny him. Doesn't understand him. Believes that God's his enemy. Makes terrible accusations against God. They're untrue. But he never lets go of him. And then what about this? I am small and despised. You start feeling small and despised, and you latch on to one of these substances or some person or something to give you a little relief, and you're going to have problems. We're going to have problems. Yet I do not forget your precepts. Even though I am thought of as being insignificant, who likes to be regarded in their life as being, well, he doesn't make any difference. He makes no difference. I'm going to my 50th high school reunion in April. They're already calling. We're working on the program. They have a wonderful place for me to be on the program. I'm to lead the prayer. And I've been to almost all of these that we've had since graduation. Hi, John, long time. What are you doing now? Oh, I'm preaching. Oh, that's good. You know, and there are others who think maybe I've made a wise choice, but others, it's kind of obvious that they didn't think I did. Feel small and despised. Instead of trying to get some numbing thing or some way to help you through that, let's turn to the Word of God and hold on to Him and draw our sense of importance. We are a royal nation, he tells us in Peter. A holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. We're going to hold on to his precepts, to his commandments. And then what about reflections, times of reflection on my life? When you start thinking about your life, how many of you have thought, what difference has my life made? You know, young people, as you get older, you start thinking more about that. Well, how did my kids turn out? Or how's my job, my career, now that I'm approaching the retirement age? What's that all been about? Especially when you begin to see that time is running out. I mean, we're all getting closer to the day when we check out. So what's it been all about? Times of reflection. Look at what the Word of God says. I considered my ways, reflected on them. and turned my feet to your testimonies. That's what it caused me to do. I considered your way, considered my ways, and I decided to make them your ways. I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to live my life according to what you have decreed. And another, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I hope that in each of your lives, you have had the opportunity, or you're presently having the opportunity, of knowing some elderly or older Christian who demonstrates to you daily the result of living by the Word of God, and watch them face death. I've had the privilege of seeing that several times. If I have any lasting legacy, I pray to God. I've prayed about this a lot. I pray to God that all the young people I have worked with, they can see me and know how to die. That's going to be my last gift. I pray to God that I will do that. Just think of the beauty of that, of helping younger people not fear it, embrace it. This wonderful life that God has prepared for us on the other side of death. And then, what about times of affliction, diseases and death? This is physical ailments, when our bodies hurt. I've been dealing with this past week a backache again. I've been at this since I was 16 years of age. And for the most part, God has been so gracious to me. I've not suffered the way so many of you have. And my heart goes out to you, those of you who deal with chronic illnesses. Chronic illnesses and other things to numb them, you could have real problems. Real problems. Well, what about affliction, diseases, and death? Look what we have here. It is good for me that I was afflicted. What? You think you could ever look at your affliction and say it was a good thing that I may learn your statutes? This guy says, or person who wrote this says, there's one good thing that come out of affliction. If it helps you to learn the Word of God, to trust Him. In fact, that gives us a way to pray for our brethren who are suffering, or our friends, our family who are suffering. How can we pray? Lord, help this time show them their need for God. If they don't see a need for God, or if they do, if they're Christians, help them to show that this draws them closer to God and they learn to trust Him even more. Another, may your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Here, times of affliction, we cry out and we lean more upon the compassionate, gracious, loving, tender God that at other times sometimes we forget. And then, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. What gets you through it? I delighted on the Word of God. There are a few moments in our lives that we will never forget. You have them, I've had them. One of them was a telephone conversation I had with one of my mentors, Homer Haley. I called him about a month or so before he died. He was 96, lived a long time. I said, "Well, Brother Haley, how are you doing?" He said, "Oh, John," said, "I got my bags packed. I said, really? He said, yeah. I'm ready to go on the journey, John. I'm ready to leave. I said, I'm looking forward to it. And I'm thinking about what Paul said, that his time of embarkation had come. That's the, in the Greek language, that's the word there. Time for my departure. It's the word that they use to leave on a ship. How many of you like to travel? A lot of you. Boy, have you got a journey in store for you. A trip. This is going to be a great trip. And I whimsically tried to say, well, Brother Haley, I bet you can go pretty light. You won't have to take much luggage. He said, you know, you're right, John. I think I'll just leave all those bags I've packed behind me. Just get up and go. And in about a week or so, he did. I want to have that outlook. I think about that. If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. In this one, I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Use your word to revive me, to bring me back. And then, what about feeling unloved? What a terrible thing to feel. I've had the opportunity to deal with some young people that didn't feel loved. As you know more about their family life, you can understand why. And I had one recently tell me, we were talking on the phone. She said, somebody asked the other day, she wanted to tell me. She said, somebody asked, who were the people in your life that you knew really loved you? She said, Mr. Kilgore, you were one of them. Just made my year. But what about those times when you don't feel loved? They come, don't they? Look at this. Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me according to your word, to your servant. It's always there, his love. We've remembered it this morning. What about this? In times of exhaustion, waiting patiently for God to act. We're just spiritually exhausted. Think we can't take another step. Look what he says. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word. Where is it? I need your help. While I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. I love that. All dried up and shriveled and cracked and ready to burst. I do not forget your statutes. Lord, I'm hanging by my fingernails, but I'm hanging on to your word. I cried with all of my heart. Answer me, O Lord. Then I will observe your statutes. I'm not going to leave you. I don't hear you. I don't see an answer yet. I wonder if you're there, but I'm not leaving you. I'm holding on to your statutes. And then what about times of darkness, feeling lost? Don't know what to do. Which way to turn? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. I can see better now which way to go, Lord. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. And then what about times of danger? I've not experienced much of this, but I know some of you have, where you sense real danger to you physically or spiritually. But what about times of danger when we're terrified? You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. Folks, when we don't know what to do, wait. Wait. And what about times of sin and shame? And this is our last one. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Come get me. I'm not sure that I could find all the way back to come to you. So come get me. For I do not forget your commandments. Our God is a God of all comfort. He is a God for all seasons, and his word is a word of comfort for all situations. He comforts us by his word. He comforts us by his comforters. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. He comforts that we might be comforted and become a comforter. Let us be comforted by God's word and then comfort others. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So let's start meditating upon it. Let's use it to help us to meet every situation. I thought of a hymn I wanted to lead for. It's called He Leadeth Me. It's 407 if you need it. I think that's right. How about that? I got it right. No mi soul, he leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me, his faithful father, where I would be. For Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Thank you for listening this morning. Max has announced a song that we want to extend the opportunity for anybody to make their request known for prayers, or possibly for those who want to be baptized into Christ, want to be saved and have their sins washed away. Please come while we stand, while we sing.